Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The cost of the NATO-led mission in Libya continues to skyrocket. British Defense Secretary Liam Fox said today that British taxpayers are spending $64 million a month on the airstrikes against Muammar Gaddafi. The price tag for American taxpayers is more than $700 million. And so far, the attacks haven't helped the rebels push Gaddafi from power. In his latest audio message, he said the NATO offensive will come back to haunt the West. The BBC's Jeremy Bowen reports from Tripoli.
Our BBC team has settled back into life at the Rixos Hotel in Tripoli. It's my third visit since the end of February, adding up to the best part of 2 months of Tripoli days and nights. Life here is punctuated by random bursts of gunfire. Sometimes it's far away. Sometimes much too close. Sometimes it's aimed at NATO warplanes. Residents complain that NATO's raiding jets are making it impossible to sleep. Even an opponent of Colonel Gaddafi, who said she was delighted that NATO was trying to unseat him, admitted that her mother was terrified of this. It's hard to blame her. It was the wake-up call on our first morning here. Bombing is occasional, not constant. But it's the thought it might be about to happen that makes it hard for people to relax. In the evenings and all day, official television broadcasts a mixture of marching songs, videos and talk shows glorifying the regime and its leader. Last night they interrupted live coverage of a party at his headquarters, the much-bombed Bab al-Azizia, for a broadcast by the colonel himself. He dealt with what's been this week's big theme in Tripoli, the deaths of civilians at the hands of NATO. Since his own son and three of his grandchildren were killed by NATO almost 2 months ago, the colonel's been even more careful about revealing where he is. So this speech was pre-recorded, audio only. On Sunday, NATO killed a family in Tripoli, it said, because of a misfiring weapon system. Then on Monday morning, it destroyed the house of Colonel Gaddafi's close ally, General Huwaila Diel Humeidi. Among at least 15 dead were three of General Huwaila Di's grandchildren and his daughter-in-law. NATO said its intelligence showed decisively that the house was a legitimate target, a command center. The Libyans deny that. Colonel Gaddafi, in his speech, asked why, if the surveillance was that thorough, did they not notice that children lived there? When I got to the house on Monday, it was rubble, so it was hard to tell whether it had been a command center. But I did see slides and a Wendy house in the garden, and I saw the tangled bodies of children in the local hospital. Yesterday, I went to the funeral of some of the people who died in Monday's attack. General Huwaila Di and his son Khaled, whose wife and children were killed, led the mourners.
The son, Khaled, is now walking with the dead body of one of his children in his arms, shrouded in a white cloth. And he's hugging and weeping. He's sitting down. He's almost overcome. He's overcome by what's happening. There's tremendous grief here.
Grief cuts across the front lines. Perhaps it can one day unite Libyans in the way their leaders can't or won't. The question I get asked most is how long Colonel Gaddafi can last. He says until he dies. It's unpredictable here. He has vocal supporters. But my best measure of the regime's strength is its ability to keep on generating fear. There are people in Tripoli who want Gaddafi out. But they don't dare demonstrate much in any way that will threaten the colonel because they're frightened his men will shoot them dead or imprison them or beat them. While he still has supporters and opponents who fear him, the Gaddafi regime has a chance.
That report from the BBC's Jeremy Boehm in Libya.